A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. Thanks for being here. Big thank you also to our good partners at Horicon Bank, the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. A great show ahead for sure. Running Rebels, dogs, business, community. The founders of Milwaukee's Running Rebels are going to join us today. Running Rebels is a long-standing community organization right here in our community that's dedicated to guiding local youth towards adulthood with mentoring, positive programming, and community connections. Victor and Dawn are going to join us in studio, tell us their story and what they're up to. And also the founder of Mumbies, a growing natural dog treat business that just secured some new funding through Milwaukee's Generator program, is going to join us. The Mumbies story is a really good one. It's got some big aspirations for sure. You're going to enjoy hearing from Bradley Will, the founder of Mumbies. One way to grow community is to reward loyalty. So I'm sitting in the drive-thru just a couple nights ago with my daughter. My daughter's 13. They go to Culver's a lot. They spend a lot of the Sherman family money at Culver's. And we started talking like, we go here so often, but there isn't a rewards program. Why doesn't Culver's have a rewards program? Actually, she asked me that very question. I'm like, that's a really good question, Pierce. You get the free tokens, you get the free scoops if you buy the value meal or the kids meal. So maybe Culver's just doesn't need that because they have such loyalty already, such great products. They're anchored in what they do and they do it really well. But as we're talking, my daughter checks the Culver's website and sees, hey, daddy, Culver's, yes, it says right here. Culver's is launching a new rewards program called Delicious Rewards. Starting next month, they're going to offer structured points and a perk system for regular customers, actually for all customers, at participating locations to begin. So members can own points. They can get points for every dollar they spend. Pretty typical with these types of rewards programs. But the rollout, as I did some more checking on this, it's part of a continued digital transformation and a digital strategy under the new CEO, Judy Fessner. So they could combine the app, loyalty integrations, and a new user experience to drive a new rewards program. It just makes me think, you know, do these type of programs, do they remind you? Do they incent you? Do they bug you? Do you need them? I think it's maybe a little bit of all the above. They get our data. We get some loyalty points in return, maybe some free burgers, some free ice cream. But bottom line, they get to gamify the experience. They get to incent the loyal customers with more ways to stay on top of a brand that we all care about. So I haven't heard all the details on the Culver's Rewards program, but you can check out their site. And I'm sure I'll see you in a Culver's drive-thru very soon. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Victor and Dawn Barnett have been guiding Milwaukee's youth into adulthood through mentoring, positive programming, and community connections for
45 years
doing the good work in the community. I appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
So tell us just the origin story of the organization. Let's go back. How did the idea for Running Rebels emerge, Victor?
Yeah, that would be me. 45 years ago, I grew up in a small town in Mississippi.
Okay.
Used to watch TV when there was unrest and civil situations going on. And I used to have a saying as a little kid that I wanted to help change the world. I didn't know what that would be, but I just knew I wanted to make a difference. My family relocated to Milwaukee. I was in middle school, okay. And a lot of my friends were being taken away. We would be close, and next thing I know, they would be gone. And I found out later they were being incarcerated for some bad choices they made. So that's when I kind of realized what I wanted to do was keep young people from being taken away from their family and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Years later, I paid attention when I went to youth programs to say one day I'm going to have a youth program to try to make a difference. Yeah. So when I got 19 in my neighborhood, there were gang involvement and drug involvement, negativity that was pulling the kids towards it. And I said I was going to keep the young people away from that. So the way that I did it, there was a basketball court in the neighborhood. And I got
what neighborhood was this?
It was right by Rufus King High School, 20th and Olive.
Okay.
So I took young people in and got them involved in basketball. And 45 years later, that connection and that relationship and that bonding that we did then is what we continue to do now.
Yeah, I mean, relationships are so important no matter what level of life we're at. Think a little bit more. Like, go back. What was the community, like the context in Milwaukee when you started the organization? And then let's compare it a little bit to today.
Yeah, it was – back then it was a lot of recruitment. When gangs were just getting started in 1980, young people were being recruited to join gangs. And I just wanted to keep them away. So that basketball court right there, it was 100 yards away, was one of Milwaukee gangs. And we were kind of – I was saying I'm going to keep them over here with me. And they wanted them to recruit them and come over there with them. So the recruitment was real strong in 1980.
Yeah. So starting a program – with kids and kind of getting the buy-in. You know, talk about that in the early days, the first program, the first participants, like the milestone moments you had as you were growing the program.
I think it's so important when you're working with young people to find out their passions. There was a gentleman that I knew in my neighborhood, and he was always down and depressed. And when I talked to him and found out that he wasn't being accepted and he wanted to be a better basketball player, it kind of triggered that I was going to help him be a better basketball player, and he would help me get other young people to stay on this side with us. And kind of that's what we did. We moved forward. He connected with me as a, me like a big brother to him, and he helped me recruit the other young people.
Yeah. So we were talking with Victor and Don Barnett, co-founders of Running Rebels. Don, as you look at the organization today, I mean, you just celebrated 45 years with a big gala a couple weeks ago. Who are the big supporters and what's the infrastructure of the organization today?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just one correction. He's the founder.
Okay, all right.
I'm
okay.
The wife. I came on later.
All right. That's fine. It's all about teamwork and relationships.
Yeah, I got
that's
almost 30 years about. In, right? Yes. So yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we've been really fortunate. You know, in those younger years, it was no support. You know, when Victor first started, he didn't have any money. So he didn't do it for that reason. He just, you know.
He's an entrepreneur growing a dream to connect with kids without infrastructure, right?
No funding. And it wasn't even really thought about. I think you got a few sponsors and they helped pay for uniforms and things like that. But, you know, and we're really fortunate now. We have a different sort of a structure. We have partners in which we have contracts that we do work with. You know, we have the Milwaukee County which we work with a lot of young people who are involved in the juvenile justice system. And we have supporters such as various foundations. So we have, you know, big supporters of the Bradley Foundation has been in our corner for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. Zilber Family Foundation, Bader, just the NBA Foundation as well.
Yeah.
So we've been really fortunate to have people in our corner. And when it comes to the health and wellness piece that we do, to have support from Kohl's Healthy Families and the American Cancer Society was one that has been supporting us for several years now to be able to really help our community and our young people take a look at how do we become the healthiest versions of ourselves.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit more about that impact. I mean, what are the core programs of Running Rebels now? I mean, it's evolved beyond, you know,
basketball.
Just teammate work on the basketball court, right? What are the programs that kids can get involved in?
Yeah, so our core, our after school and summer program is a big umbrella that houses a lot of things underneath. We have partnerships with Notes for Notes, which is a national, you know, music education program. We have a beautiful studio in our location, so music, arts and entertainment, a very, very robust audiovisual program where young people write, create their own skits with messages in it.
Right.
They created their own little mini series.
And is there one central home for the organization now, or do you have opportunities across the city?
Well, we have one central location where the majority of our programming exists. But our, you know, our advocates who work in, with young people in the justice system, you know, we receive young people from all across Milwaukee County.
Okay.
So, you know, if a young person, you know, is interested in getting involved with us, you don't have to be just in that neighborhood to be involved.
Helping kids make an impact. When we come back, Victor and Don Barnett are going to give us some more insight into Running Rebels, but I want to hear some standout stories. It's the success stories that always attract us for sure. And I want to talk about how you measure success each and every day on and off the court. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Victor and Don Barnett join us from Running Rebels, running a nonprofit youth-serving business. Got to be full of challenges, right? Not only the kids that you serve, but just building the relationships, raising the money, doing the little stuff that you have to do, no matter what the business you're in, is always a fun challenge. How do you overcome some of those tough moments just organizationally, Dawn?
Yeah, that's that's been something. You know, when I first came on, you know, as a part of helping to build the infrastructure, and just like when you start a small business, you're the one that learns how to do everything. You are the grant writer. You are the accountant. You are the manager, you are the program, you know, so we, you know, had to learn all those things. And then as we grew, then it was bringing on the right people, mm-hmm. making sure that you surround yourself with people who also share the vision. It can't be just a job. It can't be where you're just looking for a paycheck. You have to truly love being around young people because we infuse them in everything that we do.
Yeah.
So having the right people really helps with overcoming those challenges. I think it's also about the right supporters and connecting to and understanding what is it that is your core mission, mm-hmm. and not swaying from that, but staying true to that.
Yeah.
And then opportunities follow. And it's just about making sure that you're ready.
Yeah.
When they come knocking.
Victor, any standout stories that you've seen through the years? I'm sure there are many, but what are some of the transformations that you've witnessed?
Yeah, we have a couple of them, and they're so different. We've had one young man came to us, second, third grade, said he was going to work hard and make it to the NBA. Three championships later with Golden State Warriors, Kevon Looney accomplished that. Hmm. We have several gentlemen that came to us and they got in trouble.
How old was Kevon when you first started working with him?
He was third grade.
Third grade.
Wow. And, okay. You know, received a scholarship.
So how do you UCLA? Manage that when a third grader comes to you saying, hey, is my goal
yep.
to be in the NBA? Yep. The percentages
yep.
are pretty slim.
Yep.
But you don't want to squash dreams.
Not at all.
How do you balance that?
The same thing that we do for the other gentleman we had, you know, come to us and maybe facing 10 years in jail. It's about that relationship. It's about looking at what they want to do in life, help them head in that direction. And along the way, you're teaching them daily living skills. You're teaching them leadership skills. So if they fall short of the MBA or they fall short of anything that they're trying to do, you put them in better position to be successful. So somebody making it to the NBA is no more important to us than somebody that was scheduled to go to jail but got their act together and now they're a productive, you know, person in society.
Right.
They're taking care of their family and staying out of jail. So that comparison of which one is more important, we don't look at it like that.
We just ran into one downstairs.
Someone and that went through the program?
She came up to us and she said, Dawn and Victor Barnett. Wow. I was in your serious chronic offenders program. So this is somebody who was making, you know, mistakes over and over again. Hmm. She was 16 years old.
Okay.
She's now 35.
And she said we saved her life.
And she's graduating from her nursing school.
Yeah.
And amazing. Yeah. 3 minutes before meeting her, there was a young man downstairs that played basketball for us at 10 years old.
Okay.
He's now working at Quad Graphic,
mm-hmm.
and he's actually on our board of directors.
He's our board president.
So can you imagine within a 5-minute period to have somebody come up and say, you saved my life, and then you see somebody that you know you've helped head in the direction of being probably one of the more successful young men in our society.
Hmm.
Great.
Yeah, and to have people come back to organizations that mean so much to them as kids, like that's a that's speaking truth to power of what you're doing each and every day in the community.
We call that full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle. It's actually in our logo. It goes around the R, and that's what it represents. You know, we pour into you, and the hope is that you then pour into the next generation, and you come back, and you may be on our board, or you may work for us, or you may be doing something completely different, but those things that were instilled in you, how do you pass that along?
Yeah. Well, when you look to the next 3 to 5 years, I mean, there's a lot of current challenges. Is it easy to see into the future in terms of what you want to do with your priorities and goals in the community?
I think for us, the big one is being able to adjust. We don't know what the future looks like, but the way we did things in 1980, we have to be able to do it differently to connect to our young people. Mm-hmm. So that's big for us, is being mm-hmm. able to adapt and adjust to be able to make sure that we're connecting.
Is technology a big part of that, or at least put down the technology? Because we got to talk to you.
Absolutely. You know, when Victor first started, there was no technology.
Yeah.
And now you are competing with technology. You know, but I think parents and even young people are starting to yearn for something a little bit more, and that connectivity. And I think that's going to come back. And yes, we have to. And it's not just young people; it's adults too. We yes, put that down. Let's experience something else. But I think now they're really starting to crave that even more. And that human connection is what we're going to focus on, because that's what's going to be so needed and is so needed today.
Are there any specific initiatives that you're formulating right now that you're really excited about?
You know, for us, campaigns to get positive messages out in our community is so important. It used to be you can have a group discussion to talk about them, but now we have young people that aspire to be entertainers, aspire to be actors and actresses. And so we take that interest mm-hmm. and be able to help them put a skit together, put a play together. And now they're delivering that message. And it's getting across, but it's connecting more to young people because of the way it was presented.
Yeah, and also health and wellness. We're losing a lot of people to cancer, to diabetes. Yeah. We're becoming more and more unhealthy. And if we can educate young people now, you know, through our healthy eating and living, through Kohl's Healthy Families and American Cancer Society, we're doing that. And this fall, we're helping young people dig into their families' health histories. Mm. That's a conversation that families are not having.
Yeah.
Even sometimes grown right. children.
There's no playbook for that that you're provided when you're in middle school. No matter where you're growing up or where you're from, like those
exactly.
conversations are hard.
They're tough. And we want to try to help guide them through that, to open up these conversations, to destigmatize having these conversations so that we can all become the healthiest version of ourselves. And we can only do that with information.
Yeah. Very good. Dawn and Victor from Running Rebels, I really appreciate your time. I ask guests often as we close conversations to define success.
Wow.
Success for me is being able to continue to do the work, connecting to as many young people and families that we can. It used to be just youth, but now it's young people and their families, to be able to help them feel some hope in their life, because today in society there's just so many challenges going on for the families. But to give them that hope to want more is a great success, because now they are at least trying.
Okay. Don?
Yeah, I think it's being able to intentionally walk in your purpose and doing so in a mindful way, where as we encounter others along the way, we see each and every encounter with another human being as an opportunity. And we can either leave them smiling and feeling better or not. And if everybody took that approach when encountering other people, where would we be?
Well, we're looking forward to the next 45 years of Running Rebels and more. So appreciate all you do, and truly appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Startups always need a boost. And good thing there are a lot of wonderful organizations in our community that help just with that funding source. Non-alcoholic party punch drinks, technology that is leading to lead service lines, shelf-stable, vitamin-packed juice shots. A lot of innovative things that are being recently funded by Generator Milwaukee. But one that came across my desk lately, a couple weeks ago, a doggy chew made from coffee tree wood. And I grew up with dogs. I'm sure there's a lot of passionate fans listening right now that have dogs in their household. So thankfully, we got a great story for you here. Bradley Will is the founder and CEO of Mumbies, has a new company that was recently funded by Generator, diving in to the doggy treat space. Bradley, I appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So let's start with Mumble, right? Mumble was the dog's name. Tell us about the dog that kind of launched the company for you.
Well, I'm just like a lifelong dog guy.
All right.
Family dog. Got a dog as a young adult in my 20s. Okay. His name was Kane. And Kane had passed away in 2020.
Okay.
And I found myself I'm going to take some time to not have a dog. And
work. You needed time for other things.
Yeah, because you're growing a business. Yeah, growing a business,
yeah.
Caring for an animal. You adopt your life or adapt your life around the animals. Mm-hmm. And so travel, et cetera. And I was going to take some time away. And then in my newsfeed on Facebook, this beautiful girl, Celine, she was in urgent need to be taken in. And I had space, and so I was like, let me just try my hand at fostering. And I knew if I would ever get another dog, I would get two.
Okay.
And so, again, another one comes into my newsfeed, and here comes this boy with, he was 35 pounds, severely emaciated, rescued by this amazing woman, Gina, in Milwaukee. Mm. And he just needed an urgent place to stay and heal. He had his tail amputated because he was abandoned twice and severely mistreated. Right. And so I just like, okay, I could help. And then I fail. I'm what they call the foster fail. And so Mumble came in my life, and he was so resilient. And so I just, with a lifelong experience with dogs, I just learned that they love sticks. My old dog Kane, he loved chewing on sticks. And then Mumble entered into my life.
Okay. So you're watching Mumble kind of gather the sticks and bite and chew, and you're kind of thinking, what were you thinking? Like, it's not optimal in terms of the ingredients in the sticks?
Well, with my dogs, I have pit bulls. They're okay. All pit bulls and very aggressive chewers. So they need to chew, gnaw on things. They like breaking them apart. And so I'd buy the most tough, expensive toys for them, and they would rip them apart and then go into the yard and carry around the biggest stick and be happy doing it. So they like to gnaw on it. And I think most pet parents, they kind of like, should we let the dog chew on a stick? But they're being a dog, and it relieves stress and tension. And so it was actually while we were in this fostering process of these dogs, I learned about coffee wood, and I saw it, and I was like, my dogs would go crazy for that. So I got my hands on some of the material, tested it out with my product testers, and I was like, maybe other people would like this, and this would solve their problems.
And were you thinking, obviously, you were solving a problem with more natural ingredients and maybe taking away some of the toxins in the toys or whatever, but were you thinking, all right, what's the point of difference in this product that you're developing?
I didn't really take it out with the intention to sell it with the world.
Okay.
When I learned about the rescue, that there's 400,000 dogs euthanized every single year, and these two dogs probably would have been facing that same circumstance, I realized that there's a problem and that these rescues and shelters are under-resourced. So instead of going out and try to raise money and gather like donations or like volunteering, I was like, how could we create something of value for pet parents and for the world? And then we can give back to these rescues and shelters in the process. And so the stick was kind of like the catalyst for it. Of like, whoa, this is really simple.
The stick
it's
is
natural.
The product you created to amplify the bigger vision.
100%.
Yeah. To activate the bigger vision.
Yeah. It was simple. It was easy. You know, it didn't need a lot of, you know, innovation to be able to create it. Yeah. But we did put a lot of intention into it, the sizing and the sourcing of the material.
So ultimately, day to day, you're selling the product that is Mumbies. What are some of the differentiators in that product? Are there safety benefits? Are there environmental benefits? Like, are there dental benefits for the dogs? Like, just walk us through that.
All of them. So what's interesting is that when the coffee tree, actual coffee, the fruit production diminishes on these trees. They will cut them, they will replant them, and then there's a bunch of raw material. And it's super dense and heavy, and you can kind of see it. It's, you know, oddly shaped. It's got a great aroma. And when a dog gnaws on it, it, you know, like a normal stick will splinter and crack. And this ends up being really soft to where it's not leaving really sharp fibers. And so they can gnaw on it more safely and break it down. And so it's got benefits. It helps reduce plaque, stress, anxiety for the dogs, and keeps the microplastics also out of the landfills.
Health and wellness, emerging space for sure. But it's got to be rewarding to pass that along to the pets in your life too, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
We're talking with Bradley Will from Mumbies. Bradley, when we come back, we're going to talk about the growth of the business, some of the challenges with that growth, and then how you hope to tap into the money from Generator to continue to scale the business. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Bradley Will, the founder and CEO of Mumbies. Bradley, again, remind us. So you have the one chew product for dogs. Are you hoping to expand into other products really soon, or are you going to stick with the core chew toy?
Yeah, so we have six different sizes of this. We also have a root chew, which is from a more dense lower part of the tree. We've got balls and rings made from coconut husk rope, the outer husk of a coconut. And then treats, we have a bison raw freeze-dried bison liver treat, and we're going to expand the treats and just innovate with simple products, the essentials.
So you've grown a lot since 2023, almost $1 million in revenue. Pretty good growth for a small startup, for sure. What's been the biggest challenge along the way? Is it stock? Is it sourcing? Just kind of walk us through your entrepreneurial journey.
And there's a lot. I mean, at the end of last year, we almost lost our entire inventory order that came in and pre-selling some of the products. So it's learning.
Is that supply chain issues? Like what was?
Yeah, some poor, I got to be careful how I say that, but poor handling of the shipment, you know, coming on a boat. So we'll leave it at that. But, you know, it was a very difficult situation, try to navigate, especially for the first time. And I've lived historically in my career in marketing. So the digital side, we're very strong. And actually our whole team comes from my former agency. And so we're good at strong in marketing, a little bit weaker in the, you know, product and, you know, the supply chain. So probably had more challenges on that side and things we don't know, obstacles.
You fail along the way and you live and grow through the experience, right?
You take the shots on the chin and then you move on.
That's right. So tell us about the Generator experience a bit. Kind of what made your initial pitch stand out? I mean, they get a lot of applicants, I think like 1,300. So like you had to be really tight with your pitch to get this funding.
Yeah, 100%. So I didn't even intend to raise money. It's actually one thing that they say in Generators, ask for advice. And I didn't know so much about the Generator program originally. And we knew of them, and we actually reached out for advice on raising capital.
So did you go through the full? Generator has a 12-week accelerator program for startup businesses. Did you go through that entire program?
Yeah, we went through the on the tail end of it. And a lot of the companies, I think what makes them stand out is the innovation that they have. I think we were more simple, but we had a lot of traction with the sales and, you know, over 20,000 customers, which is, you know, it's a little more rare for some businesses. So I think that was one of the things in some of the branding and uniqueness. And we have strong margins on our products. Stood up.
So what is this investment? What will it mean for your current operations? How are you going to use the use the cash?
Yeah, so we've invested into more inventory, staff, being able to increase the size of the production of our inventory is a big thing. It's important. And so it's really helped significantly there.
Yeah. We're talking with Bradley Will, founder and CEO of Mumbies. Bradley, you're a Bayview resident, correct?
Yep.
All right.
Eight years.
Milwaukee neighborhood. So you're building a Milwaukee-based company. How important is that local connection? I mean, Milwaukee's really, I think, emerged as a really dog-centric community in the past several years.
Yeah, I think it's so important, the community aspect. I actually moved here from Chicago. I'm born and raised outside of Chicago.
Right.
And part of the thing that I didn't like living in Chicago as an adult, it just felt it's so big and so cold and was lacking the community element. Mm. And that's what I found right away when I moved to Milwaukee, is that it felt like a community, a city, but people are willing to help you. And, you know, just like it's like doing business on a handshake almost.
Yeah.
And sometimes that gets a little lost with, you know, big corporations.
If I can add, who was a big mentor as you were kind of exploring and getting this business off the ground? Anyone stand out?
Bill Glazer, and he lives in Santa Monica,
okay.
I think around there. He runs a company called Outstanding Foods. They make vegan cheese balls and snack products.
Okay.
He's always been an advisor. And Steve Meck at Ward 4 has been an amazing guy.
He's a great connector for sure.
We rented from that space. We started our agency in the co-working space at Ward 4. So they've been phenomenal.
All right. So let's go back to the kind of beginning of our conversation. Your long-term vision, you mentioned kind of wanting to create a dog sanctuary in Milwaukee or Wisconsin. Tell us about that mission and kind of, you know, what are the steps to get there? Is it more sales? Are you raising money for that specifically, or what's that path?
I think it's building the Mumbies platform as big as possible and make it as impactful as possible to be a vehicle for that.
Yeah.
I don't know the steps to build that.
All right.
And I think that's bringing together. It's something that a lot of people in this community, they want. A lot of pet parents, they don't want to see dogs, you know, suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm just trying to do is bring people together for a common good, you know, through that. And I think we'll continue to evolve Mumbies as a platform and be a bigger online retailer.
Yeah.
And
are you just selling online now? Or are you getting into retail outlets, or what's that process?
We're in nearly all of our sales come online. We're in about 23 retail locations, including the Wisconsin Humane Society. They sell us some of our products and a couple other local businesses, which they're listed on our website. Yeah. We have all the independent pet shops.
Okay. November 20th, there is an event, a generator event at the Mitchell Park Domes. Tell us about that event and kind of what you hope comes out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic showcase of these amazing generator companies. They are very particular in who they select, and the cohort I have is incredible. Yeah. These founders are incredible, and what they're building, it blows my mind. So,
I mean, just to be able to network with the other four companies, much less everyone in the generator community, that's got to be an amazing resource for
and,
you.
And you're learning through their journey too, as well. And we're sharing insights, and we have a group, you know, text that we stay, you know, share what's going on, struggles, wins, and so forth. So we'll be talking about on stage, just kind of sharing about each one of our companies. And I think it's fantastic for everybody to come out, whether you're an entrepreneur and you want to get inspired and be connected to that community, or you're interested in, you know, because we live in these bubbles of our own worlds, and it's really good to kind of get out of that and see what's going on in the community.
Yeah. Well, I congratulate you for your success in the generator selection. Bradley, finally, I ask everyone, define success.
Oh, success. I think for me, success is doing well by doing good.
That is simple. That is easy. That's what it's all about. I appreciate your time this morning. All the best with Mumbies, and I got a lot of friends with dogs.
You're going to have to hand these
out. They're going to get some gifts.
Thanks, Chip.
Welcome back to The Upswing. Finally, you've heard of elevator pitches, right? You stand up in front of the Shark Tank and you pitch your business. You give us those bullet points on what makes you special. Well, I don't have an elevator pitch for you. I got a streetcar pitch for you. Milwaukee Streetcar, The Hop, proven again to be an economic driver right here in our beautiful neighborhood that is Milwaukee's downtown. It's also proven the last couple weeks to make some good news. Over the past few months, The Hop has posted its highest August and September ridership since launch. More than 50,000 riders in August, 45,000 in September. Those are pre-pandemic ridership numbers. But now, Alderman Scott Spiker, great guy from Milwaukee South Side, our sons are friends, just saw him a couple weeks ago. He's been calling for The Hop's funding to be cut. Scott, I got to say, I love you. I love our city. But you're a little misguided on this one. Republican Bob Donovan, former alderman in the city, is also trying to politicize downtown development a bit by writing to the Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, and find some ways to maybe cut funding for The Hop and further politicize a vehicle that just doesn't need to be politicized. Why? Let me tell you. When the streetcar was first proposed, it wasn't called The Hop. It was called The Connector because it was going to connect nodes of people, development, and opportunity across the entire downtown area. That's what good public transit does. It connects. Just look around downtown Milwaukee. Downtown's population has grown to more than 32,000. That's bigger than Shorewood and Whitefish Bay combined. Property values along the route have jumped by 16.5% over the past year, outpacing citywide increases, boosting the tax base, reducing the burden on homeowners elsewhere. Downtown development, you go back to the master plan 25, 30 years ago, $3.5 billion in downtown development around the Hop locations. Billions more under construction. Development, density, diversity, discovery, they're all on the rise in downtown Milwaukee, and that's no accident. Transit is the foundation for growth, whether it's streetcars or it's bikes or it's bike lanes or it's buses or it's walking. Access drives energy, and rising transit tides, they're going to lift all boats, and the Hop is part of that tide.